going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 5G, it's the next big thing when it comes to smartphone innovation. But why is it so big? Why is the United States in scrappy competition with other countries to control it? And what about communities of color and underserved communities? Will they be able to take advantage of it or even afford it when it finally gets here? Those questions and more will be addressed tomorrow night at a discussion in Southeast D.C., 5G and communities of color, what you need to know. We'll tell you more about that in just a bit. But joining me to talk about this are Denise Roelock-Barnes, publisher of The Washington Informer, and Dr. Nicole Turner-Lee, a Brookings Institution Fellow with the Center for Technology Innovation and an IT expert. We're talking about this. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Denise, good to see you again.
Always good to see you, Harold. Thank you for the invitation to come in.
Absolutely. Dr. Turner-Lee, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, happy to be here. Listen to you often.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's talk about 5G. Give me the cliff notes. What is it?
Oh, wow. So I'm going to start with just a practical explanation of what 5G is, because I'm sure many of your listeners are actually listening through their mobile device or some other internet-enabled tablet. You know, what we're talking about is this evolution of the Gs, right? We started out many years ago. Some of you don't remember, some of you do, that new technology like the iPhone are just 10 years old, where we were looking at mobile connectivity as a thing in the future. You know, I know when I was a kid, I used to run home and watch the Jetsons, right? Thinking that sometime, some way, innovation was actually going to hit the planet Earth. Well, it has. What has developed in the mobile phone business has been something that has the expansiveness of computing in your purse or your pocket. And as a result of that, we are seeing this demand for applications and services that are beyond, you know, our wildest imagination. So as a result of it, we need more connectivity. So we started with 2G. We went to 3G, we went to 4G LTE, and now the next wave of this will be 5G. And what does that mean, Harold? It means that we will have calls that will be more consistent. We will be able to stream video from Netflix in a matter of milliseconds, you know, not even seconds, but even faster than what we can do now. It means that doctors can be across the country and actually perform remote surgery over wireless networks. It means that life will be remarkably different because of the fact that we actually have access to connectivity that we've never really thought of or imagined or had the bandwidth to actually deal with. So it's a really promising time. And it's something, as many of the viewers know, when you're in those spaces where it's pretty dark or you cannot get connectivity for whatever reason, or that round thing on the top of your phone that is
keeps spinning,
you're in your car or at a restaurant or with your friends saying, what is happening here as you try to download those applications? For all of those you who are listening, just imagine what that's going to be like with faster connectivity. So I urge everybody, as we have this conversation, to put this in perspective. Technology has left the station. We are all in a digital age. And that has particular meaning for people of color who cannot be left behind. Because the train has left the station, it's moving at a faster rate than we've ever even imagined.
Interesting. Denise, talk to me a little bit about why you are so concerned about underserved communities, communities of color, particularly in the context of what's happening tomorrow.
So thank you, Harold. Again, I think Nicole put it really clearly when she said we cannot be left behind. And I have to admit that maybe 5 months ago, I knew nothing about 5G. We had some visitors in our office who wanted to talk to us about something called small cells and how the city would be used, how these small cells would be used to bring 5G to Washington, to the District of Columbia. And it piqued my curiosity. So weeks later, I went to the Brookings Institute. Nicole was doing a panel there on 5G, excuse me, the Internet of Things and communities of color. And it was fascinating. And when I heard the conversation and the subject matter were communities like where I live and work, And also rural communities. So I said to Nicole, we need to bring this conversation to the communities that we're talking about.
That's right.
So that they can be exposed and learn about this. And if they have any questions, you know, they have individuals that they, that look like them, that know this information and that they can have conversations and discuss this with. So, from there, we just decided it was important to bring this conversation to Ward 8. And the residents of Ward 7, of course, the entire city is invited, but we wanted to make sure that those two communities had an opportunity to learn more about this technology.
Where and when will this be held tomorrow?
This is going to be held tomorrow evening at the ARC, which is located at 1901 Mississippi Avenue. It's the Black Box Theater there, and it will be held from 6 until 8 p.m. We'll have a few little refreshments in case folks are hungry. We want to feed the body as well as the mind, and we'll do about an hour-long conversation and opportunities for Q&As as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about 5G and communities of color, what you need to know. How might this impact underserved communities, communities of color? We are talking about the kind of high-speed connectivity that perhaps only a year or two or even this morning that you could only dream about.
Exactly.
If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mansa, calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening.
Hi.
Yes, I don't know. This sound like some kind of ploy or by some black gatekeeper that's trying to put some disinformation. Wi-Fi is not healthy. It damages your health. And the more G's that you are exposed to, the more it damages your health. So why would you even want it? If they do approve 5G, the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of my cell phone because I don't want it to damage my health. I don't know how you get on this radio and be so, make these irresponsible.
Well, let me stop you right there, Mansa, because, you know, the reality is that there are probably more cell phones in the United States than there are people. That I think that's the first thing. And, you know, I'm certainly not a physician, and there have certainly been, you know, conversations about the health impacts of cell phone use and the like. But, as was discussed earlier, we've been through 2G, 3G, 4G, and 5G is coming. And certainly you do have the right to get rid of your cell phone and not to be connected. Nicole, please.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, thank you for that concern. I think all of us in our society, as we have many more, transmission concerns in terms of radio broadcast signals, Wi-Fi signals, cell phone signals. You know, we have a lot to be concerned about, particularly in a country and a world where, you know, these kind of issues in terms of the convergence of technology are not necessarily always, you know, we're not always projecting what these outcomes are going to be. But I would suggest this. You know, many of the equipment, much of the equipment that is used to deploy these technologies do have to go through certification through the federal agency like the Federal Communications Commission. So we're not talking about deploying equipment that has an immediate health harm or risk to humanity. That's not going to happen. We haven't seen that in the deployment of other technologies. And really, in the case of African American communities, when we have seen the exploitation of communities based on these type of health risks, they have been issues where we've actually given in, but they've not told us the truth. I would urge anybody that's out there that's concerned about any type of use of wireless technology to always ask questions. But I would discourage us as a community to place that as the main driver for why we should not have it. Today, we have a homework gap, my friend, where kids cannot do their homework without access to broadband internet. We have an area where we are now in a digital sharing economy where you need your smartphone to actually engage in the conveniences and actually have lower costs when it comes to issues of transportation and, you know, being able to pay for remote services. We as a community of color have to be cognizant that we will either be passive consumers of this new technology or will be actively engaged, not only buying the services, but also creating the services that ride along those networks. So I agree with you. There's a lot to be said about what these health risks are, but as it's been mentioned, we've had this proliferation of radio signals for years. We have to keep monitoring that in our communities. But in no way are we suggesting that we're putting more cell towers in black communities over white communities. We want ubiquitous access, and we want to be able to do these things in ways that every part of D.C., every part of the, you know, the areas that we live in, wherever we are located on this globe, have access to new technology.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that is always of concern, as we have seen the addition of new technologies, and I think the best example of this was we've gone from free TV to just about everybody having to pay, and pay a lot, for high definition and the like. What are the chances that as 5G comes to the fore, that it will cost more and indeed be inaccessible for underserved communities?
Well, one of the things that's all part of the reason why we're having this town hall, Harold, so that we can have those questions answered. We'll have a representative from the mayor's office, the chief technology officer's office, to talk about how 5G will be implemented here in the District of Columbia. I mean, we still have the Public Service Commission. We still have other rate organizations that rate organizations that monitor rates, just like we do with electricity and water and gas. And they will be overseen as well by the local agencies. So, I mean, I think this is so critical for people not to try to get as much information as they can before they develop opinions about the technology that's coming our way. We may be able to slow it down or whatever communities think that they need to do, but it's coming. So it's good to know as much as you can about how to be involved in the process, understanding what the interventions are, the necessity for public notice. Every community needs to know when it's coming, how it's coming, who they need to communicate with, if they detect that there's some serious problems. I mean, if you have a water leak in front of your house, you know, you're definitely going to contact the city to say, look, there's a pipe that's burst, and the city has to respond. The same thing will happen with this technology. It's not something that's going to be put there and not monitored and controlled.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about 5G and communities of color, what you need to know. How might this impact you, the next big thing when it comes to connectivity and smartphone innovation? Mike, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, I can comment on that. I'm a computer technician. I've been in the business over 15, 20 years, and I know that, you know, they need to put the 5G up there. FCC gives them license to do so, but the thing now with the black people, the black community, is financially how they going to be able to pay for it. We get the internet now, it buffs. 4G, we got the telephone, they do what they want to do. 5G is good for those that understand the technology. But those that don't understand the technology, you know, they have to brush themselves up on technology. I'm with the 5G, and it should be in a black community. They should put the towers in a black community. Don't have the towers way out there in the suburbs. So when we go somewhere, the phone won't drop and stuff like that, or the computer ain't going to work. When we went to school, they said they're going to change things to computers. And that was back in the 70s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we here now. Everything is just about computerized.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. And you know, Dr. Turner Lee, put a finer point on what Mike was saying, because I think the reality is that if you don't have connectivity at your home, if you are from a working class family or even an underserved or poor community, no matter what your color happens to be, if you get an assignment, if your child gets an assignment and they cannot
connect to the internet because the parents can't afford it. If it's not in the house, what are they going to do?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I'm in the process of writing a book about digital invisibility, right? We're in this state where, you know, how we live, how we learn, how we earn, how we network is all pretty much driven by digital networks. And I agree with Mike, you know, it has benefits. And I also agree with the previous conversation around affordability. The reason we're doing this panel tomorrow is it's important for people to demand this type of technology in their community. We cannot have this be something that sort of leapfrogs over the African-American community because the benefits are too high. The fact that many of us have to take 3 or 4 buses to get to a primary care physician when the use of technology could actually remotely bring in a doctor to a community center. People are doing that now across this country where we see remote services, but you need a viable network to be able to do that. And I think many of us, we recognize the technology. African Americans and Latinos use smartphones at a rate of about 94 to 95%. We do have a digital divide issue when it comes to home broadband access. But again, we're carrying around the power of computing in our purses and our pockets.
Yeah.
If we have them, we need to demand the best connectivity to enable them. And if we enable them, we then can demand our ability to have improved quality of life outcomes. Our kids should not suffer. Our seniors should be able to age in place, and our businesses should be able to import and export services because we have a contribution to make to the society. So I think, you know, again, the caller is completely correct. We still have challenges. This is not going to solve the digital disparities that exist in the District of Columbia, nor will it actually address those disparities that exist across this country. But what it will do, if we have more knowledge about it, it will allow us to be more creative in how we get services out to our communities and what we can do to advance the potential and capacity of what we want to do in this digital age.
The event is called 5G and Communities of Color, What You Need to Know. It is tomorrow. That's Thursday, June 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's at the ARC Black Box Theater. That's 1901 Mississippi Avenue Southeast, right here in Washington, D.C. And, of course, as always, we will be posting that information on our website on WHUR.com after 8 o'clock this evening. But stay with us. This conversation will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Coming up, the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. But we've got much more to discuss. Do not hang up. Lawrence from Temple Hills, we're going to talk to you. Also, Patty calling from Hyattsville. Stay with us. You will be able to hear the program. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back on SiriusXM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation tonight about 5G and communities of color. It is the next big thing when it comes to technology, connectivity, and what's happening not only in your smartphone, but what's happening in your home. My guests are Denise Rolark Barnes, publisher of the Washington Informer, and Dr. Nicole Turner-Lee, a Brookings Institution Fellow with the Center for Technology Innovation and an IT expert. Let's talk to Lawrence calling from Temple Hills. Lawrence, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm looking forward to 5G. I'm actually been in the internet field since 1978, before they called it the internet. It was actually automated data processing. But I actually have learned how to monetize the internet, and I've set aside $1,000 for my new phone. Not everybody's going to be able to do that, because my service provider told me that my phone is not 5G compatible, so I have to upgrade to a new phone. So that's one issue. The other issue is that when they upgrade to 5G, you know, how is that going to affect my internet service in my office, my Wi-Fi? How is that going to have an impact on that? And then the other thing is that as for our communities, we need to learn how to monetize. I'm a professional network marketer, so I have money coming in through the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all right? So I'm loving it. I'm telling you, 5G is going to be amazing, all right?
but not everybody's going to have access to it.
Thank you, Lawrence. You make such an excellent point, and I really want to take them one by one, because he said, for somebody who has a daughter in college, ooh, $1,000 for a phone. You know,
that's all the truth.
Woo!
I know. Exactly.
Whoa!
I know.
Jesus, take the wheel. let's talk about that. But, you know, all jokes aside, what about the financial impact on individual households, but also the broader economic impact that Lawrence was so astute in bringing up? There are so many families and individuals in our community that cannot afford a $1,000 phone. So what are they going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think that, you know, what we're actually going to see with this transition to this new G will be the compatibility of new devices, which I want to put out there for the audience, which is another area I think we as a Black community need to understand. The reason that we are in a race to 5G in the United States is because if we don't get there first, and countries like China do, they will have the patents and the specifications and all the market controls in terms of what he's talking about. They will develop the first phone, they will hold the patent, and guess what? Their people will get the jobs to actually maintain that. So I think we're going to have a challenge when it comes to device affordability. We have seen in the mobile marketplace where devices now can be leased. There's a secondary marketplace for devices that we actually see. It will continue to be a challenge with any new uptake of technology. But again, I think these are the questions that we need to ask. Can we maintain affordability of devices? I would even say, as we move away from using our phones for voice, we want to make sure that there's still affordability when it comes to data. What's going to be demanded of these new devices in this new digital economy is the data is actually going to be the driver. And data can be more expensive for people of sensitive on a very restrained budget. So I would say to the caller, we're working on that. That's one of the goals that I have as an advocate, to ensure the ubiquitous and equitable access of any new technology so that we do not get left behind.
And thank you so much for that, Lawrence. And you know, Denise, this is so critical to put a really fine point on it. When we had gone to, for example, an all cable community, when we got rid of the rabbit ears, even though there were workarounds and cord cutting and all of that. But for the sake of argument, even when you are talking to your cable providers and they are giving you tiers to pay for these things, well, if you spend $50 a month, you will get this level of internet speed. But if you do $79 a month, you'll get it a little bit faster. But if you bundle it, and then it's going to cost you $150 a month or $200 a month or something like that, then you may have an ultra fast speed, but that's just going to help you pay your bills faster because you're spending so much money on internet.
Right, right.
Well, you know, I think I understand this as well, is that when they install these 5G cells, small cells, that they will accommodate still 3G, 4G, 5G.
It's not going away. That's right.
It's not going away. So if you're, you know, if you're comfortable, which, you know, I had a cell phone once and went to
a flip phone, probably.
I bet she still has one too.
Something similar. And when I went to see about getting my phone repaired at one of the, providers, the guy said to me, "We've been looking for you." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, the Smithsonian came and said that they were looking for this phone, and you have it." But you know what he told me? If the phone still works, don't get rid of it. So I didn't, until it stopped working. And then I, you know, progressed to the next level, one that I could afford, one that I thought had the features that I needed. And so I don't see, you know, this massive move to something brand new. I mean, I'm going to go even further back. When my very first Dodge Plymouth Duster automobile that I drove for years. I'm going back. That's all right. I'm claiming it. And they changed the gasoline to unleaded. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have to sell my car. I didn't think I'd be able to drive a car that used leaded gas with unleaded gas. But I found out I drove that car until it died. So we have the option of making that transition, but we don't have to do it, you know, when it happens. And I think just like with cable and everything else, I mean, it seems like the more we've waited with cable, the more options we have with regards to menus of services that we can have. One of the concerns that I've had to deal with personally as a business owner, when we located our business east of the river and cable came, we couldn't get the higher speed cable. And for a newspaper, you know, that uses extremely large files that are being transferred all over the place, from photographs to PDFs to all kinds of documents, and they get stuck, you know, in the line. We can't get them out, which reduces our capacity to do the job that we're supposed to be doing. So now we're, you know, we're finally beginning. We're still having problems.
Right.
You know, we're still having problems in Southeast, in Ward 8. I experience them every single day. And I'm looking for another alternative that will allow me to stay where I am and build my capacity.
See, this is the conversation that I hope tomorrow will be had with representatives of the district government and by extension, the Public Service Commission. And this is because this is not a DC issue. This is a national concern. And the example that you just brought up was Fios, for example. The suburbs gets Fios.
Right.
Suburbs always, they're the first ones to get it. But in the cities, the communities that get Fios are only the newly constructed communities. So if you have a new condo complex, or if you have, you know, updated housing, but for those who live in established communities, and usually east of the river, again, they don't have Fios.
I have Fios at home.
Yeah.
Just don't, 5 blocks away, I don't have it at my office.
And in right, my community in Baltimore, where I live, I asked about Fios 10 years ago, and I was told it's coming in about 3 to 5 years. I'm still waiting. And even though I live in a very diverse community, my concern is that you're going to have 5G appear in the suburbs, in new communities, but not in communities who deserve it just as much.
Well, and that's why I think we're having this conversation. As somebody who's been in the digital space for over 25 years, I've seen this unequal growth, and it has impacts. I mean, where we see higher rates of poverty and unemployment or rural isolation, you know, we're not seeing advances in mobile networks or in any kind of telecommunications networks. And that's important to the society in which we live today. I mean, to the caller that was previously on, you know, 4G LTE is what enabled Facebook. The fact that they were in Uber and other platforms, they had to go mobile to be much more successful in their deployment. And as he spoke about, we need to see more young African-American venture startups and, you know, middle age, whoever you are. The Internet still is the lowest barrier to entry for any type of economic development. But I think what we're trying to do with this new debate is a little different. We have been a community of reaction. So when we don't have it, we raise, you know, pretty much a lot of noise around why our community's not getting it. Like you said, it's like real estate now. If you live in an apartment building somewhere in D.C. and you have broadband, you actually have arrived because you now have a community where you have an asset. When we see assets like this move through our community, we need to come in the forefront. We don't need to come from behind. And I really commend the Washington Informer for bringing this out to the community. I do a lot of panels, and it's a lot with technologists and other, you know, communities where it's going to be a given that they'll get this. But what the Informer's doing is they're saying, we're coming to the people to talk about that. Two ways that we can react to this. We could push it away before it gets here, or we could ask the right questions because we know more about it.
And I think also it's, I think the other point to that is that it's not if it's going to happen in our community,
it's when, that's
but
right.
when that's it's going right. to happen, which goes to the point of
and how
and how.
That's right.
Are they going to be behind? Are our communities going to be behind? Are we going to be the steam engine while other communities are high-speed trains?
That's right. That's right. And are we going to have the choices that exist in our community? We can no longer sit back. And I try to tell people all the time, access to technology is a civil rights issue. it is no longer just an issue of, you know, whether or not you are privileged, whether you have it, you don't, whether you have a device or you do not. There is a cost to being digitally excluded in this country and in this world. You're not, I mean, you're not involved with the major conversations that are happening. You cannot benefit from the passive income that was mentioned. You cannot, you know, actively and aggressively create new income in these streams of a virtual space that is changing. You know, there's 6.2% of the digital, of the GDP is run by digital right now. And so we've got to get on the bus. But as a people, we have to ask ourselves, what do we demand of this new technology? So we're not asking the historic questions that we've asked before, which is, why is it not here? What do I have to do to get this? Why is my community not being served? Let's just take a look at gentrification. Yeah. We didn't ask the right questions at the right time, and now we're actually suffering the consequences.
Absolutely.
So we have to sit back and put ourselves into this dialogue and look at these technologies, whether it's 5G, whether it's residential broadband, as how is it going to enable opportunities, which is the paper in my book that Denise latched onto, my paper topic. How can we enable our communities around these technologies and not necessarily have to fight to get them?
And educate them as
That's right. That's right.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Patty, thanks for hanging on from Hyattsville. What's on your mind?
Well, this is a very, very interesting topic. I appreciate you all having it on the radio to at least raise the level of awareness of your listeners. I am excited to know that Denise Rolock, daughter of the great, late great Calvin Rolock, is on the air there, and the other young lady. However, I'm extremely disappointed that they are sponsoring something that is going to be detrimental to the health of the African-American community. I agree with the other caller in that said this was irresponsible to promote something that people have not researched, and they do not know the consequences on the physical realm of what's going to happen to people's health when that 5G is implemented around the world. And I encourage you, I don't know what kind of grant they may have given you or whatever to promote this, but I beg of you to please consider doing more research on this technology.
Well, let me stop you there and at least have Denise try to address this, because I think those who are afraid of the witchcraft of 5G need to inform themselves and to educate themselves. And I think that is really what is happening tomorrow, Denise.
Well, I want to say, first of all, I wish we had have gotten the grant.
Because right, I was going to say, me too.
Holding this event is costing us, and we want to make sure that we have people there, that the space is a nice space. And so everything that we're doing to promote this event is coming out of the pocket of the Washington Informer. There is no grant. So, having said that, I don't disagree with the issue that you raise. And I think that there are others who are concerned, as I am, you know, about the possibility of any health, risks that may be involved. But it doesn't hurt me to go into a venue to hear people talk about the technology. I hope you have said that we're promoting it, and we're not. We're promoting education, and we're promoting information, and for people to come, even yourself. I mean, we will have someone there who's going to talk about health issues. I got a call from her late last night, and I said, sure, I want you there. I want you to be able to address it, and she has the same position that you have. And so it's not going to be a one-sided dialogue. We want to make sure that people actually leave there wanting to ask more questions and wanting to know more and providing resources for them so that they can learn more and not be ignorant of as Harold says, of what's coming. Yeah. Our community needs to be informed, but we're not trying to sell anything.
Patty, right? thank you so much for your comment. I need to take a break. When we come back, more of this discussion about 5G and communities of color. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about 5G and communities of color. One of the things, Dr. Turner Lee, that I wanted to ask you, what impact might this have
5G technology on the Wi-Fi at home, your internet service at home? Or are we completely talking about something different, or is this the thing that will move more people to smartphones and out of home use? What?
You know, I think what's going to happen is I really want people to think this is not a determinist type of technology. It will complement what you have in your current home. I mean, what I have on my smartphone is a different service actually altogether from what I have in my home. For people who want faster speeds, maybe because they're gamers or they're entrepreneurs, they'll have this option to run it over a mobile network, because there are many people who have become cord cutters. So they actually do not have, traditional broadband packages at home. I was in somebody's house the other day getting my hair braided, and she's like, I don't have cable, I use Netflix, so people like that are going to want higher speed bandwidth to be able to download movies and other entertainment vehicles. I mean, I think it's really gonna, as Denise said, it's gonna depend on people. I really want us to stay attentive to the fact that people need a choice, right? And so that's where the conversations around affordability and accessibility are key. When I started in this space about 25 years ago, we had three A's. Was the technology available in terms of being able to get it in your community where you lived? Was it accessible, being that it had the right levers so that you could be on the technology if you had ability challenges, et cetera? So it was more, it was placed in a context of who you were as a person, and was it affordable? And we are still facing those challenges. Mm-hmm. Those three A's still exist. So I would like people to think of, we're talking about 5G today, but at the end of the day, people will still have choice. It's been the demand of consumers and not necessarily the supply that's been taken on by big companies. That's really what's made the internet today. The fact that we want more. We want more of our social media platform. We want more of our dating app. We want more of our college curricula app. We want more of our transportation apps. That's creating, I think, this conflict on where our networks are today. And similarly, it's like roads. We want it more on and off ramps on the highway, and it had to be built. And so I would just suggest to anybody listening, this is not going to replace, it's not going to dismiss or take away what you have. There are still communities in this country in the back halls of Mississippi that have no G, that we are still working on getting them something.
Right.
So this is not going to be an answer for all. But if it's coming to your city, you should at least ask the right questions.
What, Denise, do you think people who are wanting more information, those that, skeptical or not, may realize that this is coming, and they realize that indeed they may want to use it? How do you speak to the powers that be beyond tomorrow? Do you, when you see the mayor on the street, do you have a sign up saying, "Hey, mayor, 5G, I'm an old G, but I want 5G,
I heard someone give a speech on that one time.
And all of the other things, how do you begin to advocate for your community so that you are not left behind?
So that's one of the reasons, again, why we're doing this, Harold, and to bring those individuals who represent the government. We'll have someone there from the National Urban League, so civil rights community, from the MMTC. Tell me the acronym is
Multicultural Media, Telecom, and Internet Council,
right,
which does media advocacy on behalf of people of color, where I used to work.
Yeah, where Nicole worked. And we'll, we have someone who's going to sort of, she didn't bogart her way in, but essentially we're allowing her to do that because we want to have someone from the Environmental Health, I think, Association that will talk about, the health risks of this. So we want people to leave to know. And then we have Councilmember Trayon White from Ward 8, who will be speaking as well and welcoming us. So the City Council has held hearings on this. If you did not attend the hearings, as I didn't know about him, but I think Councilmember Mary Che has been very active in this arena. There are hearings that you can watch on the district cable to see what those hearings were all about, if you've got 6 hours to digest that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want people to, and then, as I said, the requirement when they begin to put up these towers is that every ANC commissioner in the community needs to be informed about what's coming. So we've got to make sure our ANC commissioners are informed so that when they have these monthly meetings and the issue of 5G comes up, if your neighborhood association, you'll know what this will be a resource for you as well. So when people leave tomorrow, we're not asking them to leave to say, yes, I agree with 5G no, I disagree with 5G. I want it. I don't want it. We want them to be at least intelligent enough to know what questions to ask, to know to whom those questions should be asked, and what's important to you with regards to this technology. What do you want out of it? Some people are looking for jobs. There are going to be workforce opportunities for lots of young people who will be engaged in the installation of the towers and all the connectivity that's involved, classroom teachers, students, lots of people, churches, businesses, everybody can benefit or should have questions about how this will impact them and their lives and know where to go to get those questions answered. And that's what we hope to accomplish tomorrow night.
And I also think that this really is a great space to have that bigger conversation about technology. It is coming. And it is coming so fast. I saw a commercial this morning, 8K television.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Maybe I'm behind. I don't know
what that is yet.
It's a television I bought last Christmas that I still don't have 3K channels, but I got a 3K television.
Right.
From,
you know, and yeah, this is, I mean, but the 8K is, you know, when that's, you can smell the food on TV.
Right.
You can, you know, you can jump in the pool when the kids are in the water on top. I mean, it is amazing. But I think, you know, to that point, I was out of the country last week, and I was talking to my friends through Facebook instead of having to, as we remember growing up, you know, long distance, collect call. These are the kinds of things that when you put all of this in context for those who are unsure that whether they like it or not, I think the reality is that it's coming.
Yeah, and I would love to like just keep talking about that conversation in African American community. You know, we will suffer a digital apartheid if we're not really clear about what this technology is and its potential to re-harness opportunities for us as a community. Like Denise, I would wish I had a grant for this. I'm not gatekept by any company. I work at a think tank where we manage our own independence. But this is really important to people like Denise and Harold and others, because at the end of the day, as these conveniences are created, we don't want to be the community that's sort of knocking at the door, our fingernails scratching through the wood, trying to figure out how to get in. We are currently experiencing those types of problems now when it comes to voting rights and criminal justice reform. And we cannot make technology be another area where we actually are fighting a new battle, particularly because the lack of access sort of forecloses our ability to be much more gainfully employed. That's the G. Gainfully employed, gainfully participative, and gainfully educated. So I think going forward, you know, we appreciate all of the comments that are out there. I have to applaud, you know, the Informer for wanting to have this conversation within our communities. We need this kind of conversation. And I'm happy to be one of the agents that will bring my opinion. Mm-hmm. But the hope is at the end of the night that we'll walk away with what's next steps.
I think that's a great place to end this conversation. Don't forget, this is tomorrow, 5G and Communities of Color, What You Need to Know. It's Thursday, June 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the ARC Black Box Theater, 1901 Mississippi Avenue, Southeast. And, of course, that information will be on our website on WHUR.com. Denise Rohrlach-Barnes and Dr. Nicole Turner-Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you, Harold.
Thank you, Harold. It was great.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, June 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.